T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
You know, Hub, I think you hit a great point there.
Hub Arkish.
The Arkish family in pro football media journalism has been around almost as long as the game itself.
670 The Score's NFL Insider.
As much of an incredibly giant bag as he is, ooh, Rodgers was right. They owned the Bears.
Shaw Media and Pro Football Weekly.
Guys, I hope everybody knows that I consider this fun.
Good. Hub Arkish.
There's no question in my mind that if that's what Hub reported, he heard it from the horse's mouth, that I wouldn't be surprised. And, you know, I've worked with Hub for many years. I wouldn't question his take on any of it.
Hub Arkish, that's getting better than this.
Hub Arkish with Parkinson Spiegel on 670 The Score.
Hub will be joining us in a little bit, and when he will, that segment with him is going to be brought to you by the Marquee Sports Network. Watch Bear Essentials Tuesdays at 7 p.m. only on Marquee. Eddie Jackson felt bad and did not enjoy the fire Matt Nagy chance. That's among the things we will talk about with Hub, who joins us right now on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline. Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. Good afternoon, Hub. How are you?
I'm doing good, Matt. How are you doing?
I'm good, man. I'm good. So how did that go over to the assembled media, as Eddie Jackson kind of put a human side on how that feels as players if you're playing hard for a coach and the fans are chanting that they want him gone?
Well, I mean, as far as how it went with the media, it was fine. You know, we're not in there to really have a reaction one way or the other. I think, you know, people have tried to report it as fairly or you know, and as accurately as they can. And, you know, the reality is, as somebody who's been in the room for pretty much all of this, there has never been any indication that Matt Nagy has lost his locker room or his team. Not anything that any player has said, not anything that we've seen. And that's what Eddie was talking about. You know, I mean, he wasn't saying, oh, you know, it makes us sad or anything like that. He was making the point that, you know, we're playing for the guy, and you know, let us play it out, and we'll see what happens.
Mm-hmm. What is the scenario? Is there a scenario other than Justin Fields coming back and playing great and them ascribing that to Matt Nagy? Is there another scenario in which Matt keeps this job, Hub?
Well, I mean, you know, obviously there is the scenario that they win 5 or 6 games, which yeah. I don't think is going to happen, you know, and I don't think anybody else does either. But that's the first one. And short of that, you know, there's been so much damage done at this point that regardless of what Justin Fields is doing, I think it would be tough. You know, the problem, Matt, is that I have it out from pretty good sources that George really has not made up his mind. You know, the report last week, that absolutely was bogus. That's not them trying to, you know, rewrite history or anything like that. My guess is that if George knows what he's going to do, the only person who knows is Ted. And I don't know. You know, he said the last time we heard from him was January 11th, I believe, that as long as they showed progress, that's what he was looking for. The other wild card here is that we don't know if Matt's contract expires this year or next year, you know, and the assumption is that it expires next year. So I'm sure there's a scenario or two out there that I'm not aware of, but right now I think he really needs to focus on winning football games if he expects to be back.
Forgive me if you've commented on it, but the idea, Pat Manley had said yesterday on the show that he thinks one of the things that's in play is the possibility of Ryan Pace becoming sort of the football czar we've all talked about them needing, and Champ Kelly becoming the GM, somebody who's already there and has made some appearances on behalf of the team and I'm sure who you know, Hub. So what do you think, is that in play as something that could happen? Ryan Pace elevated to the football version of Ted Phillips and then actually hiring a GM underneath him?
I think it's quite possible. You know, obviously Patrick is well wired and is hearing it from people, you know, close to the situation. All my sources are telling me that while nobody is sure what Matt Nagy's status is at this point, that they think that Ryan Pace is safe. And I know there's a lot of, you know, well, I shouldn't say a lot of, we never know what the percentages are, but there's Bears fans out there who don't want to hear that. But everything I'm hearing is that Ryan's pretty safe. And you know, I don't know that it would really require a promotion. It might just require a new title. That was what they envisioned when they hired Ryan, 7 years ago, is that he was their top football guy. And Champ Kelly is somebody who is well thought of, you know, in NFL circles and certainly here in Chicago. So it's a logical, I don't want to call it a projection or prediction, but it's certainly a logical possibility that Pat is hearing.
Hub Arkish with us here on The Score. All right, onto the field, Hub. You wrote about them being just one game out of the playoff spot. I think they're technically 14th right now in this crazy ass conference, but they are. Have you crunched the schedule and looked at the possibilities here? I know you wrote about it for ShawLocal.com.
Well, yeah, and actually, you know, Matt, this is the frustration we all live with in our business these days, and the crazies on social media, and certainly, you know, I'm talking about the crazies listeners here at The Score. If anybody read the column, the point was that statistically they're one game out of the playoffs. You know, I think I gave three or four reasons why, you know, I don't believe it's going to happen, but that's where they're at, you know, and so it plays to, you know, our opening line here and everything that's going on is that there are six games left in the season. You know, it's a full third of the season is left, more actually, technically, if you want to do the math. That's where they are. You know, they're one game, you know, right now, 5-6 with tiebreakers gets you in. And then you get all the goofs who saying, well, but yeah, with the tiebreakers, that, you know, they got to jump over everybody. If they win four or five games to get into the race, the tiebreakers all change. The reason they're struggling with the tiebreakers right now is because two of their four wins are over AFC teams, but they're done with the AFC now. And the teams in front of them that they could end up tied with, I know some of them, not all of them, still have AFC games left. So all of that is in play. At the end of the day, I think we're going to know in the next 2 weeks. They've got to win one of these two games against Arizona or Green Bay for this to be an even vaguely realistic conversation. I'm certainly not predicting that based on where we're at today. But there are a few other wild cards, not playoff wild cards, but things to consider. The Justin Fields thing is interesting to me because he broke his ribs a week ago Sunday, and everywhere I've looked, it is up to 6 weeks to fully heal broken ribs. Now, guys sometimes come back in 3 or 4 weeks, but you'd have to be insane to rush this kid back out on the field with broken ribs. So I think, you know, unless I'm missing something, we're going to see Andy Dalton probably in both these games. And we've seen signs that the offense does run more efficiently under Andy Dalton. And so, you know, we'll see what happens. I think they probably hope to get Allen Robinson back. I think had they had Allen Robinson, they almost certainly win that Baltimore game the way it was going. So, it's all out there. And we have to be able to have this conversation without people thinking that, you know, you're defending anybody or you know, making excuses for anybody. These are just the realities of where they're at. So Arizona is the best team in the NFC. They're the best team in the NFL right now at 9-2 record-wise. And so this would be the biggest upset of the season if the Bears could handle them Sunday. And, you know, now they play the game and we'll see what happens.
It's interesting that there's so much vagueness to Justin Fields' health because, I mean, I've heard it. Because it's interesting because day to day is the official designation as of right now, right, Hub? But you're right about the history of rib injuries, of course.
Well, that's why yesterday I went out of my way with Matt. You know, I wanted him on the record to clarify me because the last week when he was asked, was it bruised ribs or cracked or whatever, he said, I think they were cracked. And I don't know if there's a difference between cracked and broken, but I asked him specifically yesterday and he said, yes, he did break his ribs. And so, you know, you can list them day to day as much as you want. And you know, I'm sure there's different levels. I don't know how many ribs he broke. You know, I don't know whether they're displaced fractures. I mean, there's all kinds of things that come into play here. But this isn't about whether the kid is tough or not. We know he's tough, and we know, you know, he'll want to go out there. But what is the upside on that and risking, you know, a more serious injury? And by the way, and he's not going to play to his ability, which is the whole idea of having him out there in the first place, which is to develop him. And so the main thing is to get him healthy. Now, I am not a doctor, and I know it doesn't mean he's out 6 weeks. But, you know, anything less than three or four, I've tried to go back and look at other instances of quarterbacks with bad ribs. And unless you're talking about some guy trying to be a hero in a playoff game or to win to get into the playoffs, you know, without being at least 2 or 3 weeks out, it just doesn't make any sense. And then you see what happens.
Tevin Jenkins has until Monday to be activated. You think they'll activate him before Sunday? And does he get any snaps, maybe special teams? I don't know. How do you take a look at Tevin Jenkins at this point?
Yeah, I don't really, you know, I don't think we have a clue. Again, we didn't grill him. I mean, we asked Matt, you know, a number of questions about it yesterday, and he was, I think, fairly straight with us, saying, you know, we just haven't seen enough yet to know. They like what they're seeing, but, you know, what can you really do? There was no practice between the Ravens and the Lions games, and so they brought him back in an interesting window. At this point, it's not the end of the world if they don't bring him back. I mean, it depends on what you're doing. Are you going to sit down Jason Peters, who's your best offensive lineman right now, regardless of what you're playing for? If Fields is out there, you want to protect him, you know, while you still are in this window where you can claim you're competing for a playoff spot. I don't think you're going to sit down your best offensive lineman to take a look at a rookie. So my guess is they'll activate him because they don't know what happens in the next couple weeks. And once that window closes, he's done for the year. So I expect they'll activate him, but I don't think we'll see him until at least after Green Bay. And at that point, we'll pretty much know, regardless of whether they've been mathematically eliminated or not, you know, that they either have a chance or they don't.
Yeah, that'll clear things up. And then I wonder if, like, my God, can you imagine week 14? Let's try out the rookie left tackle with Justin Fields coming off broken ribs. You know, it's like that doesn't feel great.
No, it feels terrible. But here's the other thing, Matt. They don't have to start him at left tackle.
Right.
They can play him at right tackle. I mean, everything I've seen so far, and we just didn't see anything of Tevin Jenkins, but I'm not uncomfortable with the idea of teaching Larry Borum the left side. He has really impressed and surprised me with his athleticism and his feet and the way he's changed his body since they drafted him. And I am not, you know, out here on a limb by myself. There's much smarter football people than me that are telling me the same thing. They may have their bookend tackles, but it could very well turn out that it ends up with Borum on the left and Jenkins on the right, because when Jenkins was drafted with the 39th pick, when they traded up to do that, there was some, you know, applause and credit for that move because they thought he was the best right tackle prospect in the draft. So I could see activating him, letting him sit for another week or two, see how things play out, and then, you know, if you're worried about protecting Fields, if you're still trying to win games, you know, maybe you let him, you know, take some reps away from Borum, you know, and just, you know, to get him on the field. So my guess is that's the most likely scenario. And then again, if they lose the next two, particularly if Fields isn't out there yet, or if they say Fields is 100% and he is out there, then you go ahead and get him some game action and see what you got.
It's interesting. Speaking of Bears and offensive linemen, this news, the Chiefs activated Kyle Long off the physically unable to perform list today. He's on the official roster of the Kansas City Chiefs today.
Well, what's really interesting about it is they only do that because they're getting ready for the playoffs. I mean, you know, that team quietly has won four in a row. They're back to a game behind the first seed Baltimore Ravens. And what really stunned me working on them the other day for the Pro Football Weekly TV show, writing the script, their last three games, they have allowed, I'm going to get close, I may not get this exact, 7, 14, and 11 points. And that was with the worst defense in the NFL prior to this four-game losing streak, winning streak, I should say. And so, not only did they start winning again, but they've obviously straightened some things out with the defense. Now, I still don't think it's a great defense, but if that defense is going to play like that, they're a legitimate Super Bowl threat. The offensive line has been a concern. Some of the inconsistent play of Patrick Mahomes is because they tried to rebuild that line on the fly. And, you know, Kyle Long, if healthy, we know what he is. And so if they activated, this is not like Tevin Jenkins, if they activated him, they intend to use him. And I think that's great. I can't wait to see Kyle play again. I'm curious, you know, a year away and the body change and now putting the weight and the muscle back on. We know what his temperament is. We know what his athletic ability and his talent is. So I think that's going to be really fun to watch.
Yeah, good for him. He's a guy to a guy to root for at this point. In that same division, what a missed opportunity by the Chargers, Hub. They were 4-1. Sitting there in first place, the Chiefs are struggling. They go 2-4 in their last six. I can't take them seriously, I guess, at this point, as they go back and forth week to week.
No, I mean, what they've got is they've got a brilliant young quarterback. He's got some really nice weapons in Austin Eckler and Keenan Allen and Mike Williams. But the defense is terrible, and that's kind of ironic because that's what Brandon Staley, you know, was hired for. Now, that's not his fault. He inherited this roster and this talent, and they're going to have to obviously make some upgrades during the offseason. But, you know, Herbert keeps him in every game they're in, every game they play. Not so much Denver last week. That was just an off week. But, you know, they're still in the thick of it. Matt, everybody's 6-5. 5-6. I mean, you know.
I'm six and five, Hub.
You know, at this point, you know, never has it been more relevant to find the team that's getting hot. Now, Tampa Bay is getting hot when you see them going into Indy and coming from behind like that. Clearly, the Patriots are hot. Indy was hot until they blew that lead. The San Francisco 49ers are getting hot. The Packers have stayed hot. You know, those are, and the Chiefs, you know, those are probably the teams that if we're looking for who's the best and who's going to be there, you know, the last couple weeks of the playoffs, those are probably the teams to keep an eye on right now.
Congratulations to your Michigan Wolverines, Hub, for that dominant performance. Was that, I hope you were settled into a comfy chair watching that because it was so clear cut. It must have been fun and satisfying.
Thank you, Matt, because it was. I talked to Bernsey about this yesterday. I don't remember the last time that I sat down, and I always record games because I don't like watching commercials, and I just wait 45 minutes, and then I, you know, get through it. But this one, I sat down at the kickoff, and you know, I was a fan. You know, I didn't have to analyze anything. I stayed away from Twitter, just watched the game. And I really, I'm obviously a Michigan alum, biased, you know, no question about that. But for anybody who didn't have a rooting interest in that game, it was a great football game.
I mean,
you talk about everything that college football should be. You know, and the fights breaking out and the officiating calls, and then, you know, two great teams. Listen, it's okay to be a Buckeye and hate Michigan and to be a Wolverine and hate Ohio State. But one of the things that I enjoyed about that game is Stroud and Henderson and those three wideouts. Those five are all special. They're all going to play on Sunday. You know, this was just Michigan was a better team, and Michigan is so, you don't realize it. You know, Aiden Hutchinson and Ross and Haskins are going to be gone, but it's a really young team, and so, you know, not only has Harbaugh changed the conversation in Ann Arbor, their arrow is really pointing up regardless of what happens the next few weeks. Now, you know, it would be so Michigan now to go get beat by Iowa, and I don't think that's going to happen.
Oh, God.
But I'm not resting easy until we get through Indianapolis Saturday night.
That was a great college football game, and you had the trash talking with the coach and Jim taking a shot back at Ryan Day in the post game. I like Jim. I don't know him. I know you do know him. I enjoy him. He's obviously a little kooky, but I think it's in mostly a really good way. Do you think will he ever come back to the NFL, Hub? You think?
You know, yeah, we've texted back and forth a little bit after the game. I'm not bugging him on the phone. You know, he's got plenty in front of him. He has not told me this, but I've known him for a long time. My first year in the Bears broadcast booth was 87 when he was the first draft choice, you know, and he actually, as a rookie, bought a townhouse less than a mile from my house, and the relationship has gone on through the years. He is a little kooky, but a lot of that is actually that's intentional. That's planned. He is not nearly as you know, different as a lot of people think he is. He's the most competitive human being I've ever met, Matt. And so, my prediction would be, if he wins a national championship, and I'm not saying they're going to do that this year. But I think he's settled back in at Ann Arbor right now, and I know he would be happy if he just retired there. He could put in 10 more years, win some Big Ten titles, hopefully, you know, do well, and then retire. But if he wins a national championship in the next couple of years, I have little doubt that there would be the urge to try and come back and get a Super Bowl ring, too.
What's the fit like here? What's the fit like in the NFL and the fit like here? I sure loved what he and Greg Roman did with Kaepernick.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it depends on when that happens and, you know, what jobs were there. I can tell you that he's always, you know, felt good about his Chicago experience. I don't know how he feels about, you know, ownership in the organization. I do know that. I think, you know, he respects ownership, but, you know, the organization, I'm sure, would be a little scary. But again, think about what I said, the most competitive human being I've ever met. He'd probably, you know, enjoy coming into a situation people consider difficult and winning, you know, because of it. Don't forget, when he was at San Francisco, that ownership group was about as screwed up with the York family as any we've ever seen.
Yes, it was.
And it's actually the reason he left, you know, at the end of the day. So it's all timing. You know, he's not, again, unless they win the title this year, and I don't know that anybody's beaten Georgia. I don't even know if they can get by Alabama. But short of that, if the job opens this year and he was to win that national title, he's got to win a Big Ten championship first. You know, Michigan has not won a Big Ten championship since they went to the two divisions. And so it's premature right now. But I do think if, you know, if the stars aligned perfectly and at the time that he was had the urge that the Bears job was open, I think it would be a definite possibility.
Yeah, it's going to come down to Jim Harbaugh and Pat Fitzgerald fighting it out for the Bears coaching job. That's just the way it feels all of a sudden. Hub, and congratulations, your Cubs made some signings. Yan Gomes, Clint Frazier, everything's all right. They're doing fine.
Yeah, we'll see. I'm frustrated, man.
I know.
If $140 million is all Javi got for 6 years, I love Javi Baez, but I didn't see him as the linchpin that they had to bring back. So it's not, but I mean, it's hard to understand. You know, they claim that they're trying to compete. They claim they're trying to do this now, and yet most of what they do doesn't say that, you know? So we'll just have to let them breathe and see what happens.
Thank you, Hub. Talk to you soon.
Matt, take care. You got it.
It's Hub Arkish right here on 670 The Score. Let's dive into the college football coaching changes stuff. I have lots of thoughts on Javi Baez and a lot of the other baseball stuff that went on, and we'll get to that later on in the show. It's Spiegel Solo on Parkins and Spiegel. Adam Kramer, Kegs and Eggs from the Bleacher Report. We'll join us next, talk a little college football here on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.